Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. Let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we praise you and bless you and thank you for another wonderful week. We thank you for providing all our daily needs and 100 times more. And we thank you for protecting us and keeping your people safe in these end times. We pray, Father, for your spirit to guide and lead us, not only as we do this study, but in our daily lives and the decisions that we need to make in the days ahead. We pray, Father, for especially our brethren in the third world and the ones who are suffering. We pray for the underground congregation, and we pray for all those who are calling out to you today in need. And Father, most of all, we thank you for sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. We thank you for your Sabbath. We pray that we could draw in and enter into your rest this day. And we give you all praise in your Son Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Alrighty, we are in lesson 13, enduring till the end. I'm not going to rehash all the things from last week, but just pick up where we left off. Pretty much most of the study last week was going over why the rapture is false and how it's not biblical, where it came from, the history of it. And the second part of the study, which we'll be doing this week, is really now enduring to the end. What we should be doing since a rapture is not coming. And where we left off the last time was talking about the return of Yeshua. You know, because, again, he's not rapturing people away up to heaven and all these other things. But when he returns, the believers that are on the earth will be raised up to be with him, and the ones who are dead, who are sleeping in the ground, they're not raptured, they're not up in heaven, will also be raised from the dead. So, I'm going to start in Revelation 10 and verse 7. It says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh cherub, whenever he is about to trumpet, was even ended the mystery of Elohim, as he has proclaimed to his servants, the prophets." So, we said that Yeshua returns at the seventh trumpet. That's when he's coming. There's seven seals that open up Revelation. Then there's seven trumpets. And then when Yeshua returns, he brings the last seven bowls with him. That will be pretty much the destruction of most of the earth that will, and for many of the people that are on the earth. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. "And the seventh cherub trumpeted, and there was great rumblings of thunder, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become our Elohim's, even of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11, if you go back to, or we'll continue here in verse 16. "And the 24 elders sitting before Elohim on the throne fell on their faces and worshipped Elohim, saying, we thank you, Yahweh, Elohim Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is coming, because you took your great power and reigned. And the nations were full of wrath, and your wrath came in the time of the judging of the dead, and to give reward to your servants, to the prophets, and to the saints, to the ones giving reverence to your name, to the small and to the great, and to destroy those destroying the earth." So this is what's happening. He's coming not for a secret rapture, but he's coming at the seventh trumpet. When the final trumpet, the seventh is the final one, goes, that's when Yeshua will return. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we'll start in verse 13. It says, "But I want you to know, my brethren, concerning those who sleep, the ones who are dead, that you should not grieve as the rest who do not have hope. For if we believe," excuse me, "that Yeshua died and rose again, even so Elohim, through Yeshua, will also bring with him all those who have fallen asleep," the ones who are dead. "For we say this to you in the word of Elohim, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of our Master, will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep." Right? So the Apostle Paul is writing this. At this time, he's thinking he's going to be alive when Yeshua returns. And he's not saying he's going to be raptured to heaven. He says when Yeshua returns, he will be on the earth. He will be there. The ones who are living will be on the earth. And the ones who are dead will be raised up. "Because the Master himself," the Master Yeshua, "shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice and with the trumpet of Yahweh. and the dead in Messiah will rise again first. Then again, he says, then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our master in the air. And so we will be with our master always. So then comfort each other with these words. So again, the Apostle Paul's not saying anything about being raptured. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 says, behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep, right? The same thing, the dead are asleep. But we shall be changed. In a moment, in a glance of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So again, very, very clearly the same thing that's happening. Clearly, Yeshua does not return to earth before the last seven-year period, before the Jubilee, but appears at the last trumpet. If you look at the book of Revelation, you will see that there are seven seals to warn believers that the time is close. Then you will have seven trumpets during the reign of the beast power, Yeshua returning at the seventh or the last trumpet. And then he brings the wrath of Yahweh, which is called in Scripture the Day of Yahweh. We went over this the last time. Which is the seven last bowls. And again, there is nothing about a mysterious rapture. And Scripture shows clearly that Yeshua returns at the seventh trumpet. We also see from these Scriptures that the true covenant believers of Yeshua have not been raptured to heaven, but are on the earth. Paul clearly states in Thessalonians that those of us which are alive at Yeshua's coming will not go before those who are dead, but the dead who are sleeping in Messiah will rise first from their graves, and then those who are alive will meet him in the air. So it's interesting to note, like I just said, that Paul, who's a most cherished apostle, thought that he would be alive at Yeshua's return, but he did not think that he was going to be raptured to heaven, but clearly stated that he and the rest of the true believers would be on the earth at Yeshua's return. So let's go to a couple more scriptures and show that believers will be here on the earth and not raptured to heaven. Revelation 7. Revelation 7 and verse 9. Revelation 7. I'm going to read verse 9, then I'll read verse 13 and 14. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I saw, and behold, a great crowd which no one was able to number them, and out of every nation, even tribes and peoples and tongues, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, having been clothed with white robes, and in their hands were palm branches, right? So there's this great number of people there. And who are these people? Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying to me, these are the ones having been clothed in the white robes. Who are they, and from where did they come? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are those coming out of the great affliction. And they washed their robes and whitened them in the blood of the Lamb. So very clearly here, they weren't raptured up to heaven. But these were the believers that were on the earth. They went through the 42-month reign of the beast. They went through the great affliction that was on the earth during that time. And they purified themselves from it. There's nothing that speaks of a pre-tribulation rapture in Scripture. Any attempt by Satan's false ministers to teach this false doctrine is simply another way to keep the Laodicean from preparing for the troublous times ahead. So, who does Scripture say? Who will be the ones that are going to reign with Yeshua? Matthew 24 and verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, that one will get eternal life. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, that one will have eternal life. Revelation 21:7, the one overcoming will inherit all things, and I will be Elohim to him, and he will be the son to me. So it's the one enduring to the end, and the one who's overcoming. He's overcoming. That's one of the reasons why we're not being raptured to heaven. Because we have to overcome. Whatever problems we're having, whatever weaknesses that we go through, we have to overcome them now if we want to be in the kingdom with Yahweh. That's what the baptism of fire is all about. It's a purification of the saints to prepare us for rule in the kingdom. The problem with the rapture theory is that it keeps the Laodicean believer blinded to his faults, and he doesn't care about preparing for the end and overcoming sin, because he falsely believes that he will be raptured to heaven, where Scripture doesn't say we'll be raptured, but rather that we need to endure until the end to be saved and to overcome sin to be in Yahweh's kingdom. So I remember years ago when we used to volunteer in the bookshop in Jerusalem, and we would meet Christians all the time, almost every day. And I remember always, that was always the answer you would get when you would talk to them about the end time and you would talk to them about overcoming sin. They would always say, oh, I don't have to worry about that. You know, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be raptured to heaven. And that's the problem with the Laodicean spirit. The Laodicean spirit, we'll go to Revelation 3 in verse 15. The Laodicean spirit isn't preparing for what's coming. He's not preparing. And he's in this weakened state. He's, like it says, he's lukewarm. He's not hot. He's not cold. He's just kind of getting by, just going day after day, you know, wasting time. He's not redeeming the time because the days are evil. And he's getting weaker by the day and doesn't even realize it. But that's the Laodicean spirit. Revelation 3 and verse 15 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold nor hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and I am made rich and I have need of nothing. Do you not know that you are poor and miserable and a wanderer and poor and blind and naked? And I advise you to buy from me gold from having been fired by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that your shame and nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So the vast majority of end time believers are in the false state of security, of thinking that they are spiritual because maybe they keep the Sabbath day, who knows? Maybe because they're part of some kind of church. Maybe because they even know the name Yahweh. But if we look, and again in my book I go over this extensively, there's seven eras. Beside those seven congregations being seven end time congregations, there's seven eras. We're in the Laodicean congregation. That means most believers in the world today are Laodiceans. So they're in this false state of security. But we see from the above scripture that the majority of these believers are blinded and spiritually naked. They have no covering. Many of them don't want to be under any judicial order. They don't belong to any kind of congregation. They're just playing church and having fun with it, but they're really not getting anywhere. They're not bearing any fruit. They're certainly not bringing people to faith. They're lukewarm and they're not willing to commit 100% to the work of Yahweh. They're part of the world with one foot in and one foot out. Instead of completely being separate from this evil end time society, they dress like the world, they work in the world, they watch and entertain themselves just as the cosmic world does. Some even have body piercings against the Torah. Some listen to satanic music with heavy demonic beats, just as New Age worldly secular society does. And many of what they claim is Christian music is awful. It's abomination. Some of it is heavy metal. Some of it is hard rock. And it is certainly not something that's praise music to Yahweh. And today, it's shocking that many of these Christian people, a vast majority of them, more than 60% now, even agree with homosexuality. You know, so even now, pastors, homosexual pastors, I thought, you know, 10 and 20 years ago, it was shocking to have to deal with how many women pastors are out there, especially in Babylon. And to me, that was shocking. I mean, it's so clear in Scripture that a woman shouldn't be the leader. Now we're talking about homosexual, never mind a woman being a leader, but a homosexual being the leader and homosexual life being fine. I just read an article today about the Hallmark Channel. You know, Hallmark is a channel that has a lot of like family things and family movies. And they were boycotting the Hallmark Channel because they came out with, they said it'll be their 40 Christmas movies this year. And they said there wasn't one of them that was homosexual or lesbian or transgender styled after. You know, and it's like, well, it's I thought it's Christmas. I thought it's supposed to be something that is religious. And but yet, believe it or not, the Hallmark Channel answered them and said, well, no, we only put some of them out. Just wait. We are all exclusive. We'll be putting movies out. So, again, it's not even just society now. It's in religious circles. So now it's in every facet of life because they made it normal. So since they made it normal, right, they call good for evil and evil for good. Now, if you don't believe in that normal for religious reasons, it's not that you're against anybody, but you don't believe in that lifestyle because it's an evil, wicked, perverted, sinful lifestyle, you're looked at as racist and probably even a hate crime, you know, that they have it now. So that's where we're at. You know, sin and repentance, forget it. You don't hear it in any churches anymore. Nothing about it. And anybody would talk about it, they'd say, you know, you're self-righteous, you're racist, you're this. So this is the Laodicean spirit. And wow, you know, I would never thought it could be this bad, but it is. So that's the big thing. The rapture is just going to grow more. People believing this kind of false stuff because people don't want to prepare. They don't want to look at the other side of it. So, but what does scripture actually say? When we look in the book of Revelation, right? Revelation is a book that we're living in now. It's alive. It's open because not to say for the last 2,000 years, you couldn't have got a lot out of Revelation, but now we're actually living it. We're seeing things that we're reading about actually happening in Revelation. So what does Revelation say to believers in the end time? Does it tell believers in the end time that they're going to be raptured to heaven, not to worry about it? No. Let's look at what it says to the seven congregations. Revelation 3 and verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous then and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter to him and I will dine with him and he with me. The one overcoming I will give to sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. Revelation 2 and verse 16. Repent. If not, I will come to you quickly and I will make war with them by the sword of my mouth. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To the one overcoming, I will give them to eat from the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name having been written, which no one knows except the one receiving it. Revelation 2 and verse 26. And the one overcoming, and the one keeping my works until the end, enduring to the end, not being raptured, I will give him authority over the nations, and he will shepherd them with an iron staff, like the vessels of the potter. They shall be shattered, as I receive from my Father. And I will give them the morning star. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. Revelation 3 and verse 5. The one overcoming, this one shall be clothed with white garments. And I will not at all blot his name out of the book of life. And I will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his cherubs. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregation. So very clearly, Scripture shows us that the spiritual condition of the congregations in the end is not good. Many have turned away from the faith and are totally in the world, whereas others had rejected Yahweh's judicial order and are totally reprobate. And still others have such a compromising spirit that they accept almost anything and just really don't even care. But what we see in Revelation is that there are seven end time congregations, and except for two, one being martyrs, that they all are told that unless they repent and overcome, they will risk not being in Yahweh's kingdom. This is a very different message than everyone being whisked up to heaven, no matter how much sin is in their life and no matter how uncommitted they are. Many do not realize that Yahweh will allow them to go through tribulation, not as a punishment per se, but to purify them so that they will be able to serve with him in his kingdom. So we go to the book of Jacob, right? Jacob 1. Jacob, the first chapter, verse 1 through 4. Verse 2 through 4. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfected work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Right? So that's why I say the baptism of fire. It's something we should be thanking Yahweh for, that he's putting us through it, and this is what we're doing. But are all end time believers like this? Is it everyone in the end time? No. There is one congregation that Yahweh talks to in Revelation 3 and verse 7 that are not in the same spiritual condition, and that is the congregation of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is brotherly love, and this is the congregation that's showing that love. So Revelation 3 and verse 7, he says unto the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia, right? These things says the Holy One, the true One, the one having the key of David, right? How much do we talk about that? It's a sign of who this congregation is. The one having the key of David, the one opening and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have given a door being opened before you, and no one is able to shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So sometimes people say the name is not important, but right here he's saying, one of the things to the Philadelphians is they have not denied his name. Verse 10, because you kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you out of the hour of trial, which is going to come upon the world in order for those to try those dwelling on the earth. So there is one part of the end time congregation that is not half-hearted and accepting any false doctrine in compromising with the word, and they're called Philadelphians. It is interesting that Philadelphia means brotherly love. So another aspect of these people will be their love that has not waxed cold by the iniquity and immorality that has run rampant on the earth. And we're seeing that today, especially with COVID-19. You know, we're seeing that people's love is waxing cold. And, you know, when I sent that letter out last week, that brethren letter, and talking about mass, because mass are not normal. You know, the same way I say to people, if Yahweh wanted you to smoke cigarettes, he would have created you with a chimney on your head, you know, for the smoke to go out. But he didn't. He didn't create us with chimneys, so we're not to smoke cigarettes. It's unnormal. It's unnatural. So by far, I wasn't trying to get people to go against government rules. If in your area the government is saying you have to wear a mask for safety of the people, by all means, then wear masks. But what I'm saying is, in general, we have to look at things from Yahweh's perspective and not the world perspective. And I don't believe that it's in Yahweh's word to quarantine the well. No, you quarantine the sick. And, you know, like I said, when you look at it in mass, the first thing that people think of when they see a mass, they think of a robber. And I think of the program going back to the 1940s, if anybody remembers the program, The Long Ranger, right? One of the great heroes, right? And it's actually based on a true story from the Texas Rangers, where they killed the Texas Rangers and one survived, and he was going and helping the people. And he wore a mask because if they knew who he was, they would come and they would kill him. But in that program, when people see him, they always say, you know, he says, I'm on the side of the law. And they say, well, why are you wearing that mask, right? Because law-abiding citizens normally don't wear masks. Because, like I said, it is unnatural. And it does stop us from smiling. And smiling is powerful, to smile to someone, whether it's a cashier at a store, you know, whether it's, you know, a friend or a family member, or just somebody on the street, you know, that you give a smile to. And it's unnatural. So by far, though, if temporarily you have to do it because that's the law in your area, and by all means, you know, we should be law abiding. But it really is something that's unnatural. And here we see the same thing. We see that the Philadelphia now is actually unnatural. It's unnatural to be separated from the world, right? It's unnatural not to work in the world and not be part of the world. And even the Apostle Peter said that's the way the world will look at us when we're not running around to the same evilness that they are. Because we're being separated, we're being sanctified. And, you know, I look back and I'm starting to see that, wow, there's a lot of things that are really, really simple. And one thing I'm actually, you know, I'm looking now because it's getting harder for us to do what we're doing as a congregation with all the lockdowns and restrictions. And you start to think of things that we could have done before. But one of the things, when you have very little money, as our congregation does. And a lot of our witnessing and preaching has gone through the website. Praise Yahweh, we just passed 11 million people. Can you imagine that? And it's actually a lot more than that because everything wasn't recorded on there from the very beginning. But the point of it is that I actually see, instead of preaching the good news the way that the world does it, you know, with all this stuff with TV stations and all this stuff the way the world does it, I think actually the simplest way was the way Yeshua did it. Send people out two by two. And Yahweh willing, if this COVID thing does subside and we get back to some a semblance of normalcy, even if it's for a short period of time, I'm going to put a plan of action together for our elders, especially in a lot of the third world areas, to start going out two by two. Go out to the communities, knocking on the doors of the neighbors with a smile on their face, not a mask, and to be sharing, bringing tracts, sharing, helping, whatever it is to do. Because it is the simplest, the least affordable, and best way. It's about people touching other people's lives, right? And that's what it's about. And that's what the Philadelphians are. That's what the message to the Philadelphians are. If you go to Revelation 14, Revelation 14, because we are seeing before our eyes, you know, when you go through a worldwide pandemic to a world like we have, a world that's been conditioned through internet and all this other stuff. And can you imagine what would be happening with all these lockdowns if people didn't have computers and internet, what they would be doing? Already, though, they say domestic abuse is up tremendously because of people having to be locked down and whatnot. Alcoholism is way up. Drug abuse is way up. All these things are way up because people don't have their mind on Yahweh. Revelation 14 says, "And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000. These are the first fruits, right? With the name of his Father having been written in their foreheads. And I heard a sound out of heaven as the sound of many waters and the sound of a great number. And I heard a sound of harpers harping on their harps, and they sing as a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except 144,000, those having been redeemed from the earth." Wow. And I could bet you the song they were singing wasn't some kind of contemporary Christian music, but it was something out of the word of Yahweh, probably from the Psalms. "These are the ones who had not become defiled, for they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever he may go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And no decoy was found in their mouth, for they are unmarked before the throne of Yahweh." Wow, this is what it is. They're unmarked. And at a time now where there's so much deception, I mean, there's so much deception, you can't imagine how much deception is out there. And there's actually people out there that are claiming that the virus is fake. You know, now we can go into all the reasons why it happened, if China did this on purpose and all these other things of it. Has it been used by the governments around the world to you know, lock down the people and get them ready for what's coming? Of course it has. But how can you say that it's fake when you have whatever it is now, 13, 14 million people that are already infected, hundreds of thousands that have died? You know, how on earth can it be fake? But that's what people say. There are people that are out there, and there's people, believe it or not, even some believers, maybe not in our congregation, but believers, Seventh-day believers and Sacred Name believers that are into all this conspiracy stuff. You know, the same that want to believe the earth is flat, that they will believe any lie. And they're the same ones that want to believe a lie that won't follow Yahweh's judicial order. You know, they'll say they'll never follow a man. And the end result is that they're believing something like COVID-19 isn't real. It's not even there, that it's fake and that the earth is flat. You know, so, hey, you know, I don't know what else to say. I've warned people for years about being careful about this. But man, that is a Laodicean attitude, if I ever seen one. But the true believers, like Jacob 127, what are the true believers doing? What are the Philadelphians doing? "Pure and holy service before Yahweh the Father is this, to visit the orphan and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." That is now, if there was ever a sign, you know, and the Bible says an evil and adulterous generation look for a sign. But why does Yahweh say that? Because Yahweh gives us signs. We don't have to look for our own sign, but Yahweh gives us signs, right? And if we ever needed a sign from Yahweh about when is the time to totally separate from the world, he's given it to us now. Now there's no reason. Now with COVID-19, now where the world is actually telling you to stay home and telling you to work from home, it's not even a normal anymore. There is no reason for brethren to still be part of the world. And if you are, even up to this point, if you're still part of the world, well, you might be one of 5 or maybe 6 congregations, but you're certainly not a Philadelphian. I can tell you that much. So, unfortunately, most in the world today are not living as Philadelphians. And the coming tribulation that will come on believers from the end time one world government beast will be allowed by Yahweh to purify these people so they can still overcome and be in his kingdom, since they did not willingly do this when they had the chance. But to the true Philadelphian who are qualifying now and living by faith and dedicating their full life to Yahweh and his kingdom and not some earthly job for themselves, these people will be taken to a particular place on the earth which Yahweh has set out, and he will protect them from the coming time of trouble, since they have already proven that they are and will continue to be faithful. So, although there's not a rapture of heaven, people just being whisked up, you know, from nowhere, you know, a pilot is flying a plane and then the next minute he's gone and nobody's flying the plane, like you see in some of those rapture movies. Although that's not going to happen, there is going to be, to the people of the Philadelphian congregation, the 144,000, maybe not all of them, but that will go to a particular place on the earth, but they'll also go through purification first. Revelation 12 and verse 9, let's read about this. And the great dragon, Revelation 12 and verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, being called the devil and Satan, he deceiving the whole inhabitable world, was cast out into the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven, which said, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them day and night before our Elohim. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their souls even until death. Because of this, be glad the heavens and those dwelling in them. Woe to the ones dwelling on the earth and in the sea, because the devil came down to you having great anger, knowing that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he pursued the woman who bore the man-child. And 2 wings of a great eagle were given to the woman, that she might fly into the wilderness. Right? We talked a lot in the last year about the wilderness. We'll be talking more about that. And it's amazing how fast time goes. But Yahweh willing, the feast is only a couple months away now, and we will be back in the wilderness at Sukkot if Yahweh keeps the door open for that. Right now, the country is closed, but we're believing in faith that Yahweh is going to keep that door open. 2 wings of a great eagle given to the woman that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished there for a time and times and half a time from the serpent's face. And the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a river after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried off by the river. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river which the dragon threw out of its mouth. And the earth helped and the dragon was enraged over the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed, those keeping the commandments of Yahweh and having the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. So we could see, it's only a small portion of these Philadelphians that are going out, the 144,000, to this place that Yahweh has prepared in the Middle East, more than likely in the land of Jordan. And the rest of the people, though, Satan is coming after. And that's the time when the beast power takes over, and he is angry, and the beast power makes war on the saints and overcomes them. We talked about this before. I'm not going to get into that now. But I would like to just go in a couple more scriptures showing about there is a place, though, on the earth that believers will be put. Isaiah 26 and verse 20 says, come, my people, go in your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide for a little moment until the fury passes. For behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to visit his iniquity on those dwelling on the earth. The earth shall also reveal her blood and shall no more cover over her slain ones. So again, we see hide. Go to your place and hide. That Yahweh has a place that he's prepared, a particular place for his people. Ezekiel 20 and verse 35. Ezekiel the 20th chapter. Verse 35. He says, "And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and I will be judging with you there face to face, just as I was judging your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will be judging you, declares Adonai Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge from among you the rebels and the transgressors against me. I will bring them out of the land where they reside, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." So we see here that Yahweh is bringing the people out to the wilderness. He's bringing them to a particular place. And why? Because he's purifying them. And it's amazing that when we were there last year, and there's a lot of places in Jordan, you know, they call it Jordan. It's actually, a lot of it is the land of Israel, because we know that Manasseh and Gad and Reuben, at least half tribe of Manasseh and Gad and Reuben, had their tribes on that side of the Jordan River, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And there's many biblical places, even where Yeshua was baptized, where John was baptizing, is on the Jordanian side. But the one place where we were last year, down in Wadi Rum, is without a shadow of a doubt, one of the areas where the Israelites camped. You know, it's a part of Kadesh, what's called Kadesh down there, and where the Israelites camped. So it's like to be camping in the same area that the Israelites were in. And here it is in 1 Corinthians 10. And like I said, 1 Corinthians 10, you could read it for the last 2,000 years and probably get a lot of it out of it. But it's written for our time now. It actually says it. This is written for the last generation, because you're going to go through a second wilderness. And you need to learn the lessons that they didn't learn during the first wilderness. So to be there in the very area, I can't imagine, if you're serious about making it into Yahweh's kingdom, then you want to give yourself every advantage over Satan, because Satan is more powerful than we are. And number one, if you stay in his world and you stay on social media and you stay connected with all the little toys and gadgets that he has as the prince of the power of the airwaves, your chances of making it are almost nothing. But you have to put things in your favor. And, you know, we're living in a time now where you have to make decisions in your life, right? And the Bible is very clear. He who loves father, mother, sister, brother more than me is not worthy of me, you know. And he who tries to save his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will get eternal life. And really, now is where the rubber's hitting the road. And Yahweh is testing all of us every day. What's important to you? What's important to you? And I know one thing. I know I'm a human being, and I know I'll have a hard enough time getting into this kingdom, just as anybody else. And I want every advantage I can get to be able to make it. And I look at a feast in the wilderness as gold. It's like a gold ticket that you have, you know, because what you learn there in the very place, it stays with you, you know. And there's a lot of times things will stay with you for a little while, but I can honestly say it's going on, you know, a couple months will be one whole year since we were there. I think about it almost every day, maybe not every day, but almost every day. And I read about it, I study about it, and it has helped me in my walk. So you have to look at the same things here. If you want to be a Philadelphian, you know, the feast is 1 week out of the year. I don't know how many more times Yahweh will even allow us to be there, but you got to come out of the world. You got to come out of the world. There's just no way about it. Song of Solomon 2 and verse 14. Song of Solomon 2, SOS, in verse 14. "Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock," right? "In the clefts of Selah, in the secrecy of the steep place, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, your form is beautiful." Right? So this is where Yeshua is calling his bride from. He's calling her from where? from the cliffs of Selah, in the secrecy of the steep place. And let me tell you, it's pretty secret, and it's pretty steep, and it's pretty hard to get there. So, chapter 3 and verse 6, who is this who comes out of the wilderness like columns of smoke, sacrificing his incense, myrrh, and frankincense from all powders of the merchants? So it's an amazing thing that Yahweh sets a place up for his people to set up. Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Isaiah 33 and verse 14. The sitters of Zion are afraid. Terror has seized profane ones. Who of us shall tarry with consuming fire? Who of us shall tarry with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression, who shakes his hands free from taking the bribe, who stops his ear from hearing of blood, and shuts its eyes from looking at evil. He shall live on high. Strongholds of Selah will be his retreat. His bread shall be given, his waters are faithful. You know, there's no water there. There's cisterns, but I'm sure Yahweh will take care of that. Food, you know, manna's got to be the best food you can ever imagine, you know, and Yahweh can easily do that. So it takes a lot of faith to believe it, but I certainly believe that Yahweh did it before and Yahweh can do it again. So our Heavenly Father does not take pleasure in chastising his children and would much rather have us now, before this time of trouble, prove our allegiance to him and him alone. But since that is not going to happen, he will allow his covenant people, as he did with ancient Israel, to be tried by Satan's end time beast government to draw them closer to him. But as mentioned, the ones who are making that full commitment today, who are living by and walking in faith, will not go through the same trials and will have a specific place set apart for them to protect them from this hour of trial. So, you know, again, if you honestly believe in faith, and in this world today, people that really believe the Bible looked at as kooks and nuts, and they'll say, you know, oh, you can't really believe in that, because they're believing in the systems of the world. But if you truly believe these words that we're reading today and then reading Revelation, then you're going to take an action. You know that this society is not Yahweh's society, right? Even when Satan said to Yeshua, bow down to me, look at all these kingdoms of the world and I'll give them to you if you bow down to me. And Yeshua never said, these are not your kingdoms to give. He never doubted that. Even in the book of Daniel, right? What is Yeshua saying? You know, I fought with the king of Persia and now I got to fight with the king of Greece. The leaders of this world, although they're allowed by Yahweh to be there, it's Satan. Satan is the king of this world. He's the one. He's the god of this world. He's the one that is putting his people in place for his global world government and what he's doing. So the people of Yahweh, you know, we have to overcome in our life. That should be a top priority. And then we have to endure until the end. Because, you know, I don't know how many more years, like I said, by 10 more years from now, when we hit 2030, there's a good chance Yeshua's kingdom could be here on the earth. But what if he tarries? What if it's 2032 or 2035? We don't know. We don't know. The times and the seasons are in the Father's hands. But we know that the time is close. And that's why we have to endure through the end, because it's only going to get better. Get worse. It's not going to get better. And we see that. We see with these pandemics. And now they're saying there's a worse one that's out there that might come next year that has a 50% death rate. Now this death rate of COVID-19 is only around 3 to 4%, something like that. Sometimes even lower of the death rate of people that get it that will die. But the bubonic plague is like 50%. 50%. So, you know, it's time that we really have to think about this. It is interesting to note that not everyone will go to a place of protection, as we see that after the woman goes to her place, that Satan comes after her remnant. We read that in Revelation 12 and verse 17, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the faith of Yeshua. So this is not speaking about the physical nation of Israel, although Satan will come after them too, but because they don't have the commandments of Yahweh and they certainly don't have the testimony of Yeshua. This is the left behind remnant and the Laodiceans who have not taken their calling seriously and are half-hearted and will have to be purified through tribulation. So I've been giving this message now for years and warning people. But you know, when the times are good, it's hard for people to take it serious. But praise Yahweh, at least now as bad as this COVID-19 situation has been, at least it's helped some brethren to wake up, to realize, wow, I really have to take this serious now, you know? Because like I said, in Satan's world that's glossed over, before this, it really was that time when they're saying peace and safety. There hasn't been a world war since World War II. The stock market in America is going through the roof. Even third world places are living very good. And things seem, like I said, anywhere I would go in the world, even the poorest places, every single airport is filled and every airplane is filled. Where are all these people getting the money from? You know, that you have millions and millions of people flying every day. And now, boom, like overnight, it's gone down to nothing. So I think, praise Yahweh, at least it's making people realize when they say peace and safety and sudden destruction comes, that we're living in the time now that we're advanced in this stage and we really have to take it serious. So although 5 years ago, if I said this, it would be the same thing, because there are people, maybe I said that to 5 years ago, that are dead today. They're not even alive. So we never know when our last day is. So every day we should live to Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, because we never know if it's our last day. But as far as world events now, seeing how close these things are and how we're living in this time, it should really make all of us to be looking at overcoming and enduring to the end. But it must be noted that even the remnant that goes to her place of protection from the end time beast power does not go until Satan is cast down from heaven and the fourth part of the end time beast of Daniel is set up. So all believers will go through some purification. So even if you think you're a Philadelphian, and even if you think that you're going to go to the wilderness, all of us, everybody, everyone will go through something, because the only way you're going to be in the wilderness is if you're purified. So you have to allow that purification to happen now. Everyone will go through purification and some affliction in these end times. And the ones who are faithful will escape the end time wrath of Satan on the saints during the reign of the beast from Revelation 13. All believers must focus, as believers, our focus should not be on a false rapture that is not mentioned in Scripture, but should be on purifying ourselves from the immoral secular society that we live in and striving to live holy lives that without we will not see Yahweh. So once again, Revelation 21 and verse 7. The one overcoming will inherit all things, and I will be Elohim to him, and he will be my people. And Matthew 24:13. But the one who endures to the end, that one will get eternal life. So that's what we have to do. We have to overcome, and we have to endure to the end. So just going over the points again. The pre-tribulation rapture is not scriptural, was never taught or believed by the early apostles, and all believers are purified through trials and tribulation. Number two, we are commanded to overcome and endure till the end in the last days. And number three, a small portion of faithful believers will go to a place of protection during the end time beast power's reign, because they have been faithful during these end times and they don't need the purifying that the Laodicean half-hearted other believers need. So, a lot to chew on there. And like I said, it's good to know the scriptures on why there's not a rapture, so you could show people, because so many Christians believe that. And for Christians, it's really an in that if they can see that the rapture is false, it can open up their mind to what should they be doing. So I think it's important to study those scriptures we went over last week, so you know why the rapture is not scriptural. But as believers, this second part of this study is the most important part, showing what we need to be doing, that we need to be overcoming and we need to be enduring, because we're going to be on this earth, you know, one way or another. If you die, you're going to be on the earth sleeping in the ground waiting for Yeshua's return. If you're alive, you're going to be going through tribulation and trial to one degree or another. And we need to purify ourselves, you know. And I'll say something else of someone who has been to Selah many times and seen it. Even if you're accounted worthy that you're going to be taken to sell it, and you're not going to go through the persecution of the beast power, it will be no picnic there, you know, because like I said, there's nothing there. To be living in a cave for who knows how long of time, to not be able to have food and water, it's very hot during the day, it's cool at night, there's sandstorms. It is not an easy life, as we see from the Israelites who lived in the wilderness, and especially up there. It's a jagged rock. So, and from what Scripture says, it'll be attacked by different people. That's one of the reasons why Yeshua comes from Bosnia with blood on his vesture, because Bosnia is right next to Sela. And apparently that place will be attacked, and the believers, and he's got to come to protect them, to save them. So, all the more reason why we have to be preparing now, because we have to change our mindset. We have to get to that point where man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh. And that's what we're living for. That's what our focus is on him, on his word, on serving, on overcoming. And whatever physical thing you have or don't have in this life, you're not even thinking about it, you know. But as the clock is ticking and the time is getting short, we really need to be focused on that part of overcoming into the end. So, Yahweh willing, next time we'll go into lesson 14 on Yahweh's judicial order. But until then, have a wonderful Sabbath. And not tomorrow, but next week, we'll be going over part two of the Word of Yahweh. And as I see now, there'll be at least four parts. We'll see. Never know, there might be more. But that will be next week. So, Yahweh bless. Until next Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom.